Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayemi, Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf. We begin at the Mishnah on Yud Tes Amud Beis, four lines off the bottom. Says the Mishnah, just like we don't manufacture idols for Avodah Zarah, we may not manufacture adornments, jewelry that will be used to adorn, to beautify the Avodah Zarah. Vein oisin tachshitin, we don't make jewelry, the Avodah Kechavim. For instance, katlois, chains, unazamim, ear or nose rings, vetabois, finger rings. Rabbi Lenzo, I remember schar mutar. If you're getting paid, you can do it. And of course, the Gemara will explain the reason for this. Continues the Mishnah with another halacha. A moichran lohem b'mechubar l'karka. In Eretz Yisrael, one may not transfer property. One may not sell property to a guy. Not only the property, but even something which is merely mechubar l'karka, something growing out of the ground like a tree, may not be sold to a guy. Aval meicher hu mishiikatetz, but you can sell it to him once it's been cut off the ground. There's no concern that it might lead you to sell while still attached. Rabbi Doimer, just like you can sell detached trees, chopped lumber, you can also sell him a tree while still in the ground if it's sold on condition that he will be chopping it very soon. Meicheru amanas lokens. The Tanakhama disagrees because it may linger, he might just delay things and end up owning the property in Eretz Yisrael. Minohanamili. So how do we know that in fact we may not transfer property or even a tree in the ground to a goy if it is in Eretz Yisrael? Amar Rabbi Yisrael Bachanina. We have a pasuk in Sefer Devarim, Damakro. So the pasuk is telling us that Hashem will be giving us the land. Don't make any deals with the goyim. Don't be curious lahem bris. Don't make any pacts with them. V'loisechanim. What does v'loisechanim mean? Damakro loisechanim loisitein lahem chaniya b'karka. You can't allow them ownership in the karka. You can't give them permanence, presence in Eretz Yisrael. So loisechanim is lashon chaniya. They shouldn't have a presence, control over the land. Asks the Gemara, well, this pasuk has already been used for something else and is unavailable to teach us this halacha. Hay loisechanim, this phrase miboyle is needed for the following halacha. The hachi kamer achmana. The pasuk is telling us loisitein lahem chen. Loisechanim is don't give them grace. Don't praise them. Don't speak of them in a complimentary manner. So it's been used for that and unavailable for this. In Cain, we're only coming to teach us the Isser to praise. Lema Pro, then the pasuk would simply say, Leisechunim, with a vav, like Vichuneka and Birchas Kainim, give you grace. My Leisechunim, why does the Torah spell it? To teach us also, Shmam Natati, to teach us both halachas. No praising and no giving them control. Well, Vakati, but still, we have yet a third lesson being taught from the same pasuk. Miboyle, it's needed for the following halacha. The Hikam Rahman, the pasuk is telling us, don't give them any gifts. Lesitan hem matnas shel chinam. Some take out the word shel, matnas chinam. You can't give a gift to a guy. If you're expecting something in return, if it's to buy favor, fine. If it's to show appreciation, that's a different story. But a free gift? So it's needed for that, and not available for this. Well, says the Gemara, all three halachas actually can be learned from the same phrase. In Cain, because if it's only telling us no gifting, the pasuk would say, like chinam, right? Don't give them anything for free. My loisachanim. Why is it read loisachanim? To teach us all three things at once. Shmam nakulu. We learn all points from the same pasuk. No gracing, no gifting, and no controlling. Tanya Namihach, we find the same in a Braisa, that in fact there's an Issa to hand them control over the land in Eretz Yisrael. Loisachanim teaches us, Loisitin lem chanoyo bakarka. You can't give them control, you can't give them permanence in the land. Davar Acher, another point from the same pasuk, Loisachanim, Loisitin lem chen. You can't praise them. Davar Acher, a third halacha as well, Loisachanim, Loisitin lem matnas chinam. No free gifts. Says the Gemara, this last point of gifting a goy is actually a machlekes tanaim, whether it's asur or mutar. Umat naschinam gufa tanoi, this halacha is actually given to a machlekes tanaim, because according to one shita it's asur, according to the other tana it's mutar. The sanya, we have a brisa with respect to a nevela. So if a cow died, it's a carcass, it's not really edible for the yid. What do you do with it? Pasuk says, don't eat it. Right? Rather, you have two choices, two options. Either la ger asher b'sharecha titnena v'achala, either give it to a ger asher b'sharecha, Rashi explains, it's not a regular ger, we're talking about a ger toishav, a guy who was committed to keeping the, you know, the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noyach. He could eat a nevela, right? That's not one of his seven mitzvahs. And also there's a mitzvah to support him. Rashi says, mitzvah lach yaseh d'chsiv, because by the ger toshav it says, v'chei imach, allow him to live with you, meaning support him, look after him financially. So give him the nevela for him to eat. Oy machar nunachli, or sell it to a guy. That's also an option. It would seem like you have only these two options so far, right? You can choose to either gift it to a ger or sell it to a guy. What if I want to give it to a guy or sell it to a ger? Amli ella leger ben asina. It would appear like you could only gift it for free to a ger. You can't sell it to him. You can't charge him for it. Or if you're choosing to give it to a guy, you must sell it. What about the reverse? What about if I want to sell it to a ger or give it to a guy? Can I do that? Leger b'mechira, is that okay? Minayin, how do we know it's okay? Tamad leimah, because the pasuk reads like that as well. The pasuk reads like one continuum. It starts with a reference to a ger, and then tells you, leger you can give it or sell. Stop. So both options can be applied to a ger, and then you can read it the other way. You can say, give it or sell it to a guy, right? So both options could be attributed to either the ger or to the guy. Right? Tam leimar titnena oymachar. So the ger can either get it for free or you can sell it. What about if I want to gift it to the guy? What about giving it as a free gift to a guy? How do I know that's okay? Tam leimar. Once again, we read it the other way. We take the two words in the middle of the pasuk, gifting and giving and selling, and we attribute it to the last part of the pasuk, to the guy as well. So either you give it or you sell it to the guy. So both options are acceptable to both recipients. Nimtzata Omer. So in conclusion, we come out that echad ger v'echad eved gecham, whether you're giving it to a ger or a guy, both vehicles are acceptable. Bein benasina, bein b'mechira, whether you're giving it or gifting it or selling it, that's okay. So according to Rav Meir, clearly you can gift to a guy as well. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Omer, you have to follow the exact instruction of the pasuk. Dvarim kiksavon. The words of the pasuk, the options provided are specific, are exact. You have either a choice of giving it to the ger as a gift, you can't sell it to him. Or, if you choose to sell it, it must be to a guy. And Tosfos asks, why would I have to lose money? Why would I have to give it to a ger toshav for free? So he says, because, look, to me it's not worth much. It's just an avela. It's worth $5. And to the ger, it's a meal, it's a week's worth of meat, right? So I can't charge him. Now, if I encounter a guy, if I have a customer, a guy, sure, I can sell it to him. But if I choose to give it to the ger, I have to give it to him as a matana. It's like, you know, Zenen of Azelech Chasser. He's gaining, and I'm really not losing much. So Rabbi Yehuda works with the two options only. Dvarim kicks off. Leger ben Asina. If the ger is the recipient, it has to be for free. You choose to give it to a guy, it has to be sold. You can't give a free gift to a guy as per the Isra of Lay Sachanim. So Rabbi Yehuda is the one who holds of that Isra. Now, Shapir Ka'amar Rav Meir. It would appear like Rav Meir's position is pretty convincing. That both options are available to both recipients. Right, the fact that the pasuk structured it this way, putting the two options, gifting and selling, in the middle between the beginning of the pasuk which references the ger and the end of the pasuk which references the guy, apparently both options apply to both recipients. So all options are open, all choices are available. No, Rabbi the Amalek will respond by saying no. This option is specific to the ger, and this specific to the guy. Why? How do I know? Because if Rameer's position is correct, they can just mix and match, then why would the pasuk insert the word oi in between both options? Right? It says give it or sell it. What's the oi? What's the oi all about? It's splitting it to tell you. At the first option, gifting is only to the ger in the beginning of the pasuk. The selling option only applies to the goy at the bottom half of the pasuk. Rabbi responds by saying, "E sal kadaitach kedama Rabbi." If Rabbi's approach is correct, then the pasuk will just leave out the word oy, which is that dividing element within the middle of the pasuk. Lamali, lichta brachmanat nenavachal umachar. Pasuk will just read as one continuum. Oy lamali. Why the word oy in between the two options? To split them, to divide them. Shmamina, we learn from here, ledvarim kiksavnu da'asa. It's coming to tell you. You have to follow instructions as per. Right? So, the giving option is specific to the ger, selling to the guy. Virab Meir, how does Rav Meir respond to this argument? What happened to the oy? Why is there an oy? To tell you to prioritize. Hahu, the point of the oy inserted right in the middle of the pasuk between the two options, lagdumi, to instruct us to be makdim, to prioritize, to prefer. You have a choice, right? Free gift to a ger or selling it to a guy. Better gift it for free to a ger, the mitzvah lach yaisai, to support him, over selling it to a guy. That's a preference. Rabbi Yehuda, he says, well, preference? It's self-understood. We don't need a pasuk for that. Why? Keeping the ger at the mitzvah lach yaisai, since we are commanded to support, to financially support a ger, which doesn't apply to a regular guy. Uknani, yeah, to mitzvah lachiyos. No mitzvah to mechaya uknani a guy. So then it's obvious. It's pashut. Lahagdim leitzarach krok. We don't need a pasuk to tell us to prioritize. Rather, the pasuk, the word oy, is coming to divide, to split the pasuk into two parts. Part A is the ger, who's getting it as a free gift, only. Part B is the guy, who can only get it by way of a sale. So bottom line is, Rav Meir doesn't seem to hold of the Isra of Leisachanim. You can give a gift to a guy as well. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda does hold of that Isra. Okay, so again we have the Pasuk Leisachanim, which covers all three Isurim. Lo yisitan lem chaniya b'karka. You can give them ownership of the land in Eretz Yisrael. You can't praise or speak complimentarily about a guy on a personal level. You can speak about his actions, about his right, things that he did, but lest it come to idolizing or praising the actual person, his personality, Meshabeach, the person that's chen, you can't grace them. And thirdly, at least according to some, Mesitan hem matnas chinam. Okay, continues the Gemara. Let's elaborate on the second interpretation of this pasuk. Loisachanim tells us ever achar another point. Loisachanim means loisitlem chen. No grace. Masayel el Rav. This supports Rav. Damar Rav. Also l'adam. Shoyema, one cannot declare, oh, look how nice looking this guy, whether the man or the woman. Shoyema kamana oyved as kochav mzu, or some switch it to a male form. In any case, you can't praise the looks of the guy. Oysachami. Meisvi, here comes a kash. Masad was a story. But Rav Shimon Gamliel, Shoyal Gavim Malabal Harabayas, you're standing on some sort of step on the Harabayas. V'ro, he encountered this nice-looking Jewish, non-Jewish woman. Amar, he said, "Merabah Masech Hashem." So he praised Hashem for creating such a nice thing. Apparently, it's okay to speak in this manner about a guy. V'afar b'kivara, Eishes Turnus Rufus HaRasha. Likewise, we have a story of Rabbi Akiva, who took note of the wife of the Rasha Turnus Rufus. And he reacted in a very interesting way. Rock. So he spat. Sachak, he chuckled, and he cried. Why? Why was he rock? Why did he spit? Because she comes from this lowly seed, this lowly droplet. Sachak, he chuckled, because in Ruach HaKodesh, he foresaw that she's his future wife. Dasida, the Megayr, she's going to convert. Venasel, and he's going to marry. Bacha, why did he cry? Dashufa, because such a nice thing. Bali Bara, eventually will just rot in the ground after death. In any case, we see that these great men, Rav Akiva, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, would praise even a guy. Well, something more, it wasn't personal, the Rav. So Rav, who told us that it's forbidden, he explains that these tzaddikim were not praising the guy per se. They were just acknowledging to Hashem, praising Hashem for creating nice and pleasant things. Da'amar, we have a halacha, a known halacha. You do it even for a nice animal, a nice horse, right? Haroya b'riyos toivos, one sees nice creations, and the tesis brings the Rishalmi. Even a gomel noe, a nice looking camel, sus noe, chamor noe, a nice horse, a nice donkey, right? So it's praising Hashem, it's not personal praise to the guy, right? Omer, he says, blessed is Hashem who created such nice things in this world. I was once having a conversation with a fellow who was a driver years back, and he had the privilege of driving Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, when he came to visit the U.S. He was being driven around Flatbush, Brooklyn, visiting the B'machazik, the Sephardi communities, and one day his hosts wanted to give him a little vacation. They suggested that he be taken to Manhattan to see the. They asked him if he wants to go see these tall skyscrapers and be impressed by the architecture. And he said, okay, listen, the Gemara says that right, whatever the host tells you, kol mashiyem lechabal habayis asay. So anyways, he went along. He says, why not? And they took him up to the. So this fellow took him up to the top of the Empire State Building to look out, and he was standing next to him, and he was noting that Rav Avadia was constantly murmuring. He was saying, "Psukim, Marabu Ma'asecha Hashem," and he says, "Look, wow, amazing Hashem! Look what Hashem did. He gave wisdom. He gave chokhmah. He gave seichel in the minds of people, right? The architecture, the builders, to put up such beautiful edifices, to design such impressive skyscrapers." Right? He gave them the power, the talent, the wisdom to put up such impressive structures. So instead of being impressed by the structure itself and taking that in as a sort of as a in itself, he spiritualized it. He channeled it to Hashem, praising Hashem. Look how great Hashem is. Hashem gave, right? The Chachma, the people, look what they did with that Chachma. So it was a spiritual acknowledgement. As the Gemara is telling us here, it's not praising the Goethe or whatever. It was utilizing it as an opportunity to praise Hashem's greatness, vastness. Baruch shekacha bara b'olam. Right, so it's a way to come closer to Hashem, and that's why it was permitted. So, you know, in a way to capsulize this halacha of refraining from praising a guy, but yes, acknowledging the talent and whatever in a non-personal way. So, basically, you could speak of a good act, a righteous act that a guy did, as long as it doesn't become personal, as long as you don't elaborate on it on a personal level. Rambam says, the danger is that you might be drawn after the guy on a personal level. You idolize the guy and you praise the guy and his personality and his personal traits. You might be drawn after him and his ways, right? Which is, of course, something you want to avoid. So the point is, yeah, you can note a gracious thing that a guy did, or perhaps a certain accomplishment that a guy did, as long as you don't dwell on it. You're not mesaper b'shvachai, right? You don't elaborate, you don't get into it, in which case it can veer into the personal, which that is the essence of the Isser, right? Praising the personal, personality, praising the facial features, getting personal, that's loisit lemchein, which we're talking about here. Okay, in any case, on another note, we have a question here. These great men noticed nice-looking geisha women. How is one allowed to gaze? How could a person paying attention to an isha? One is meant to take extreme care to avoid taking note of these things and risking being drawn after them. One should not be gazing, paying attention to a nice-looking woman, even if she's unmarried. Likewise, he shouldn't be doing so regarding a married woman, even if she's ugly-looking. Or, nor should he be gazing at the colored garments of a woman. I think more later will tell us, we're speaking that he knows the woman, so it takes on that personal dimension. And again, it might lead to improper reaction. So, he shouldn't be doing that. Nor should he watch animals mating. Chamor with a chamor, a male with a female. Swine, male and female, v'lebechazir v'chazir, v'loy ba'oifos, birds, v'zman sh'niskakim l'zeh when they're mating. Afilu m'loy yanayim, k'mal ha'chamavis, even if he's surrounded by all sides, like he's full of eyes in all directions, he's so tempted, like the malchamavis is full of eyes. It's just a metaphor, meaning even if it's coming in from all sides, one must take care to resist being drawn after these things. In fact, amru olav, amal ha'chamavis. The following was related regarding the malchamavis, the angel of death. That's what he looks like. He's full of eyes, because eyes are the conduits, right? That draws a person to all kinds of desires. Shukulo imole inayim di malchamavis. In a metaphoric way, he's like full of eyes. B'shas p'derasha shel choyla. In fact, when the ill man is about to pass away, oymid mal rashoysev. Oymid mal rashoysev, the malchamavis positions himself above the head of the shoulders of the v'char b'shlufa b'yadeh with his drawn sword, v'tipa shal marat l'yaboy, with a droplet of poison dripping from it. Kiven shecholei roya isay. As soon as the ill man notices the malchamavis mizazei, he's stricken with fright. Upaseach piv, and inadvertently opens his mouth. V'zerklos echpiv, and the malchamavis, who has that droplet dangling from his sword, drops it into his mouth. Me'men amaze, that causes him to die. Men masriach, that causes him to decompose. Men abadam harikas, that causes his face to discolor. So in any case, how do we explain how these Tanoim, these great men, took note of these non-Jewish women? Answers the Gemara, it wasn't on purpose. Keren Zavis Havoy. It happened as they were sort of turning a corner. Inadvertently, they noticed they encountered these women, noticed them, and responded accordingly. V'loy b'bigdei tzeva shel isha, one must refrain from gazing at these colored garments of a woman. Amar Bida, Amar Shmuel, v'afilu shtuchen al gabi kosel, if they're hanging on the wall, drying on the wall, or on the laundry line. It also poses a concern. Amar Apapa, u'b'makir ba'alein, was speaking specifically that he can identify their owners. So then it takes on that personal dimension, And there's a constraint. Amar Rava, the Kanami, the wording of the Braisa indicates as such that it's not just, you know, some anonymous clothing. Rather, he knows its owners. Iktani, but the Braisa says, "Vlobi biget seva shalisha." Why does the Braisa have to add that word, shalisha? Iktani, it doesn't just say "Vlobi biget sevayin" in any colored garments, which obviously are colored garments are from women's garments. It doesn't say that. It says shalisha to tell you, shvamino, to teach us that it's only concern if in fact he's makir, the owner, if there's that personal side to it. It's only concern if these clothing has already been worn by this woman. So again, it takes on that personal dimension because they were worn by somebody, and he noticed them on her, and now he's sort of attributing it back to the owner. But if they were brand new clothing, never worn by anybody, so it doesn't have that personal side to it, less than, but there's no concern. Because otherwise, how do we ever give our colored garments to a tailor to fix? Anan mana, us, meaning how do we go ahead, mana, garments, lashpuri, to this tailor who fixes new clothing? How are we going to give it to him? He's taking note of the clothing, that's asr. Well, says the Gemara, hold it. Then you can't do anything. According to what you're saying, what about a farmer who's engaged in mating his animals as part of his job, right? Right? If we have the animals of the same species, in which case there's no concern about mixing different species, no concern about kalayim, so then we can actually assist in the mating process. Mutal lahachnas, you can insert kimikhoil, like a dropper, sheferis in a tube. Basically, we can engage in mating them. Haka mistakel, if he's involved, he's right there, right? He'd be mistakel. Ella, so apparently, even though he's noting it and he's gazing, it doesn't matter. But bittetor, he's engaged in his business. In which case, he's not paying attention to silliness. Hachinami, here as well. The cleaner, the tailor, but with the tarid, he's preoccupied with his profession, in which case there's no concern about it triggering improper internal responses. Oh, Mamar. So back to the droplet of poison which the Malach HaMavis imparts on the person, Mimena Meis, that causes him to die. Name a pligud abo d'shmul would appear at this description is not in line with Avod Shmuel. The Amar Avod Shmuel, Amar li Malach HaMavis. The Malach HaMavis once conversed with me and he told me, Eloi dechayashna, if I was not concerned about maintaining dignity, liyikra, the honor, to protect the honor, the briyasa of the people, have a parana beis hashchita gebeim, I would just tear open their neck like a behemoth and kill them like that. Apparently, it's more than just dropping in a drop of, right? It takes on a more physical form. So I don't do it so drastically, but internally I disconnect, maybe spiritually, I disconnect the vital organs, not just dropping in a droplet of a poison. Says the Gemara, well, maybe it's one and the same process. Dilma, perhaps. Hayitipa, that droplet, machat, simon, that detaches, the simon, the kana, the vesha, the esophagus, the treasure, the meaning in a spiritual sense, it detaches him from his life force. So if not for covered abrius, I would do it more drastically in a more visible way, but now I'll do it more discreetly. Now that same droplet that caused him to die, mimena masriach, from that he decomposes, mesayei alei de Rav Chanina, bar kahana, this supports Rav Chanina kahana's statement, Amr Chinim Kahana, Amr Rav, in the Spanish of Rav, they said, Haroitzesh le Yisriach Meis, if one wants to mitigate the process of the decomposer process, Yavchen al Panov, he should overturn the mace flat on his face. This way, the effects of this process will not, which is rooted in the mouth area, will not spread as quickly and be felt around him. Worry to be kept face up. Tanu Rabbanan. So the pasuk warns, "V'nishmarta mikol davara." one must take care to guard himself from anything that's ra. The pasuk here is specifically speaking about those engaged in battle, where there's a concern about being tempted by averis, gilei arayos, so on and so forth. So one must take extreme care to avoid these types of pitfalls. Specifically says the Gemara Shel Yahar Adam Bayom, a person should avoid, repel improper thoughts during daytime, lest it come to generate a negative response, an impure response during nighttime. Yovel Deitum of a Laila can bring to carry to an emission. So, Mikanam Prunchas Vinyar. So based on this directive, says Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, look how extreme the Torah. Look how the Torah is so concerned to this extreme, to this extent. A person could think, look, what's a thought? Big deal. In fact, the Gemara Bava Basra tells us it's impossible for a person to be spared throughout the day to avoid any improper thoughts. They just prop up. The point is, yeah, they prop up, but you meant to repel them, resist them. So let the person think, well, what's the big deal? It's just a thought. It's not an act. From this drasha, from this pasuk, from this brisa, we learn the extent of care that a person is meant to take and the amount of responsibility that's incumbent upon a person to commit himself to actually resist all these temptations to the nth degree. So in fact, Torah, the words of Torah, Rashi learns, the school of Torah, right, the positive spiritual effects of learning Torah. V'oid, another point says Rashi, the word Torah over here means, by learning the words of Torah, we see Sheroya Umeven. He understands, he appreciates the extent of how important is it, to what extent one is expected to take care, to avoid, to resist, to protect himself. Umeven ashore shaba v'nishma, that leads him to be more careful. So based on this, Rav Pinchas Zera tells us, look, Torah mevila dezehirus, engaging in Torah, learning Torah, understanding the extent of our responsibilities, brings us to be more careful, right? It arouses awareness. It brings attentiveness. And once a person gets to that level, he's ready for higher. He's ready to be more meticulous and more energized in terms of doing good things as well, right? So taking care from avoiding negative stuff cleanses a person to the point now he's ready to be excited about good things. Maybe he'll date Zerizos. To be energized and excited and motivated for good things. Once he achieves that level, Zerizos, maybe he'll date Nikis. It brings the person to the next level to cleanse himself completely of any remnants of wrongdoing. Once he gets to that point, Nikis, by the way, the whole right Sefer Mesilsa Sharma is based on this Brisa, level by level, right? Rung by rung, step by step. Nikius, maybe they precious. Once a person achieves Nikius, now he's ready for more precious. Limiting his interaction with physical experiences. That brings him to a higher level of holiness as well. Precious, once he achieves that level, maybe the Tahara brings him to purity, purity of mind, purity of heart. Everything he does is with pure intentions, of just wanting to connect to Hashem without any other ulterior motives. Once he achieves that level, Taharam VLD Chasidus. Now he's ready to go extra, the extra mile. Go beyond the call of duty. Beyond what's expected of him, because he loves Hashem so much. Chasidus, once he gets to that point of Chasidus, VLD Anova, now he's truly humble. He feels so connected and part of Hashem. He doesn't feel like his own entity. Doesn't have to promote himself. Doesn't have to sell himself. Doesn't have to impress people. He's totally humble, because he's connected to Hashem, the true source of his life. Once it gets to that point, now we're talking high stuff. Now he trembles in fear from a chet. He feels the detriment. Just naturally, he has a natural reaction to chet. He's trembling. Yiras chet, once he achieves that point, that level, v'yodei kedusha, now he gets kedusha, which is basically a gift from Hashem to complement his efforts. Kedusha, v'yodei ruach hakodesh, now he gets ruach hakodesh. You can see all around him He's not limited by the physical dimensions of his limbs. He can see beyond what the normal eye can see. His mind is not limited by the physical, because he in effect became a spiritual person. Ruach HaKodesh. We can get to the point that he can revive dead. Now, what's the greatest of all these levels? Surprise. Says the Gemara, Chassidus, Deilim Mikul, Chassidus, considered the highest ranking level. Shanama Oz Debata Bechazn Chassidach, Hashem speaks in a vision to his Chassidim. So, although Chassidus was not the last level on the ladder, but perhaps in terms of the person's own investment, maybe Chassidus is the highest. Then he gets. Siyata Deshmaya, Hashem allows him to go higher and higher, but first you have to push yourself all the way to Chassidus, which perhaps is the most difficult of all. Upligat Rabbi Shimon Levi, but this appears to be in disagreement, because Rabbi Shimon Levi said something else. Rabbi Shimon Levi, Anova G'del Mekula, on the highest level of achievement is Anova. Shenema Ruach Hashem Lekim Allah, Yan Moshach Oisi Levaser, Yishai is saying that Hashem is transmitting through him this message of redemption, levasir anovim, to treat the humble to this good news. Apparently, they're considered the highest and the best. Chassidim lenemer, rather than refer to them as chassidim, el anovim, the humble. Alamata, we learn from Mish, anova gdel mikulon, the highest level of achievement is considered anova. Okay, should all be zeicher. Eimarichon lehen. So back to the Mishnah, which is the first interpretation of Leisachanim. Right? It's based on that pasuk, Leisachanim. Don't allow them chaniya b'karka, don't give them permanence, ownership, control of the land. What about selling them a tree? Tanu Rabbanan, ma'achim lehen ilan. You can sell them a tree if he plans on cutting it down. Amanas lakutz, b'koitz, okay? On condition that he'll chop it off tomorrow, and he does it. Divrei, Rabbi, that's Rabbi Yudashita, we're not concerned that it might just drag on, it might linger, and he might end up controlling the property. No. The deal was to cut it. We assume he's going to chop it off very soon after. Ramel Imrano, we're concerned that it might drag on, in which case it's a concern of Chanoya Bakarka, giving him control and ownership on the land. You can only sell to him once it's been chopped. That's one case. Here comes the next case. Shachas. What about undeveloped animal feed? Rashi says, it's tvas chitim, it's regular grain, but still in its green stage. And typically, it's harvested in this early stage and used for animal feed. Question, can I sell that to the goy if he plans on harvesting it, tomorrow? Yeah. Shachas almanas ligzais, on condition that he's going to chop it off, the goy, and he harvests it tomorrow. Once again, we're concerned that it might not happen. He might not harvested and might just stay there, and he might own the property. You can only sell it to him once it's been harvested. Third case is, what about ordinary grain, ready to be cut? Come, I'm not slick, so I can sell him grain ready to be harvested on condition that he harvests it. No, again the same concern. You can only sell it to him once it's been harvested. Now why? All three cases. What's the point of repeating this halacha over and over again? Tzricha, tzricha. They're all needed because each one has its own lesson, its own chiddush. The Ashmin and Ilan, if we only discuss the case of the tree, I would think, over here, Meir says, it might just linger. Kivad leposit, since he's not losing by leaving it in the ground. I mean, a tree in the ground is not spoiling. Mashilet, so perhaps it's a concern that he might just leave it there. In which case, you're giving him ownership in the karka. Aval hai dichimashi leposit. But in the case of the grain, which is ready to be harvested, by leaving it in the ground, any further it's gonna get ruined, get spoiled in the ground. So perhaps over there, there's no concern. Emo moidile Rabbi Yehuda. Perhaps Rabbi would agree to Rabbi Yehuda. There's no risk involved because he's certainly gonna harvest it. No. That's why we cite this case as well. You never know, he might just leave it there, and there's a concern. Now, if we only leave it at these two cases, so perhaps Rabbi Yehuda, in this case, is not concerned, because even if if you would leave it on the ground, they don't, you know, improve in a noticeable fashion. A tree in the ground, I mean, how much does it grow? The grain, which is already ready for harvesting, is not really benefiting much from being in the ground. Avo shachas, the idea shvuchayu, but shachas, the animal feed, look, by leaving it in the ground, it's going to grow another couple of inches. It's all gain. So, ema moideli the Rameir, perhaps in this case, Rabbi the greets the Rameir. This is a very real risk that he might just leave it there to gain a little bit. So that's why we have to cite that case as well. No. He made a deal. He's going to keep it. V'yashmin b'ha, on the other hand, if we only cite this case of the shachas, I would think, b'ha, karamir, Rabbi Rameir says, there's a real risk that he might just leave it there to let it grow a little bit more. Aval b'hanak, but in the case of the tree or the mature grain, ema moedile the Rabbi, perhaps he would agree to Rabbi Yehuda that if the condition was to harvest it or to chop it, there's no concern of lingering. Tzricha, that's why we say all three cases, to teach us in all three cases, despite their variables and factors, the same exact machlokes applies in all three cases, whether it's a tree, whether it's shachas, whether it's the grain ready for harvesting. Rabbi Yehuda says, no problem. And Ramirez says, even though the condition was to chop, to harvest, you never know, it might linger, and then you're risking the isser of loisachani. Tzricha. Iboila, one more question. What about an animal, which typically you don't sell to a guy? What if he conditioned? He made a tanai. I'm selling it to you on condition that you slaughter it soon after. So there's no concern about doing malacha, and nobody's going to see it in the guy's care, and there's no concern of confusion, of creating, you know, impressions that you can sell working animals to the guy because it's meant for slaughter. It's like sold the meat. The question was posed like this. Behemoth. What if you sell him the animal on condition that he shechts it? Can you do that or not? Sometime am I sure Rabbi Yehuda? Perhaps only in those previously mentioned cases, the case of the tree, the case of the grain, it's only there Rabbi Yehuda allows you to sell to the guy, to lab b'shusei kaimi, because it's not in his possession. Very difficult for him to linger and to let them stay in the ground. Because the owner's not going to let it happen. Look, the trees are my property. You want it, chop it off and go. You can't leave it here. No free parking, right? So the concern is mitigated. Aval behema. But when I sold him an animal, I'm not in control. I gave it to him. Sure, he promised to slaughter it tomorrow, but he might change his mind. What am I going to do? I'm not in control anymore, right? Since it's sitting in the possession of the guy, the customer, Mashilo, he can very well decide to hang on to it, to wait another year. In the meantime, he's going to work with it. In the meantime, people will see it in his possession. That could come to undermine the whole ban of selling work animals to a guy. On the other hand, you can say, there's no difference between this case or the previous case. The fact is, the deal was on condition that you shechted, and assumingly, he'll keep his word. Tashma, his araya, from a brice. Guess what? The same achlekes between Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda applies to this case as well. Yeah, Divi Rabbi Yehuda holds, you can sell him the animal, knowing that he's going to shecht it soon after. Rameir Imer, no, once again, he might linger. You can sell it to him if it's already slaughtered. But if it's still alive, you cannot. Okay, so we pretty much started and ended the daf with the same note. So it's all based on the pasuk, Loisachane, which teaches us three things. Loisitin lem chaniya bakarka. Don't allow them governance, ownership, permanence in the land in Eretz Yisrael. Not only the land itself, but even something which is mechuber, something attached to the ground, like a tree. Right? What if he bought it in order to chop it off? So we have a machlekes on that. Rameir says we don't trust him. Rabbi Yehuda says, let's hope, let's assume he'll do it. And that applies to a tree, to the animal feed, or to the grain ready to be harvested, or to an animal for shechit. Second point that we learn from Leisechanan is, right? And that's actually Machlekes Tanoim. And the third point is Don't speak in a way which draws you to them, which idolizes them, which praises them, lest you be drawn after them on a personal level and be tempted to emulate their ways. We do have exceptions. We find the Tanaim who praised, but the praise was attributed to Hashem, who created such beautiful things. As Tesis points out, it can apply to even a nice horse, a nice donkey. So it's rather than being a personal acknowledgement, it was mutter because it was a spiritual acknowledgement. Baruch Shekacha Lebailamai. Which took us to the next topic of V'nishmartam Kol Davar Ra. A person must take extreme care to avoid any negative triggers. The Gemara gives us some examples. The mistakel on Isha Noah. When Isha says, even she's Muchu Eres, Big Deit Seva Shal Isha, the animals that are mating. Unless there's a heter Avidat Torit. And as Rav Pinchas Ben Yair points out, this highlights the sensitivity of the Torah to these things, to maintain one's purity, which will eventually, Bezer Hashem, lead him to higher madrigas, from Torah to Zahirus, to Zrizus, to Nekiyus, to Precious, to Tahara, to Chasidus, to Anova, to Yerushchei, to Kedusha, to Ruach HaKodesh, to Tchias HaMesim. Amen. Ken Yiratzen.